Welcome to another sermon podcast from Central Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. This episode will feature a sermon delivered by the Reverend Kimberly J. Parker. The sermon is based on scripture from Psalm 116, verses 1 through 2, and 12 through 19, and Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 15. This is the second sermon of the series In the Beginning, Sermons on Genesis, and it is entitled Laughter. Central Sunday Morning Service for the 14th of June, 2026, third Sunday after Pentecost, was streamed to our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. A complete video or sermon audio replay of this service may be found on cpcatlanta.org. Select the upper right menu, and then Services under Worship.
Before I read today's scripture that'll be used as a basis for the sermon, I want to recap and use some of Shannon's words from last week, partially because some people may not have been present for worship either here in person or online, partially because this is the second Sunday of a sermon series using passages from Genesis. As Shannon said last week, we are on this Genesis journey because I've discovered when things feel unnerving around us, sometimes it's good to go back to the basics. So that's what we're going to do as a faith community. We're going back to our spiritual beginning. Shannon preached from Genesis chapter 12 last week. It's the passage where God tells Abram to leave his country and his kindred and his father's house. God promises this to Abram: I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. During the journey, God appeared again and said to Abram, to your offspring I will give this land. I think that summary is important since this is a sermon series and it ties into our passage for today. I also think it's important to make mention of Genesis 17 before we hear today's passage. In chapter 17, God appears again to Abram, makes a covenant with him, changes Abram and Sarai's names to Abraham and Sarah, and promises that Sarah will have a child. As Abraham heard this promise, he fell on his face and he laughed to himself, saying, can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Can Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Now listen to today's text from Genesis, chapter 18, verses 1 through 15. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, my Lord, if I have found favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you have said. And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, make ready quickly three measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes. Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, where's your wife Sarah? And he said, there, in the tent. Then one said, I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance near him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I be fruitful?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son.'" But Sarah denied, saying, "I didn't laugh," for she was afraid. God said, "You did laugh." Holy wisdom, holy word. I debated whether to share with you where I've been with this text and preaching today, but it makes me laugh, so I think it's appropriate. Shannon had me down to preach twice this year, for which I'm very grateful. I preached the Sunday in April after Central OAC had In Their Shoes event on a Saturday, and then I was scheduled to preach in October. However, Ellen and I are going to on the Scotland trip, and I would be returning 2 days before I was to preach. I knew that was not a good idea, so I was looking for a date that I could switch with someone. I noticed that Susan was actually supposed to preach today, but was going to be on vacation. So that seemed like a good switch to me. Note to self for future conflicts. Maybe look to see if Shannon has scheduled a sermon series and chosen the title of the sermons before asking if you can switch dates. Kimberly laughed after seeing this. And had God asked me if I laughed, I would have immediately said, "Yes, I did, God," not denying it at all. Back to looking at the text for today. In the first part of the passage, three men walk up to where Abraham is sitting. He must have known they were no ordinary strangers because he bowed to them and asked them to not pass him by. He offered to bring some water for their feet, invited them to rest, and told them he would provide a meal for them to eat. Can you imagine this very elderly man bowing down and running to make sure he could offer a reprieve for the special visitors? It kind of makes me laugh to envision him doing all of that, and yet it seems that he did. You know, Abraham is showing us what I believe to be the true form of hospitality. Sit, stay, relax, eat, drink. It seems that the visitors were not just passing through and ran across Abraham. It seems they came with a purpose. As Abraham places the meal in front of the men, they ask, "Where is your wife Sarah?" We know that Sarah was inside the tent, not outside with Abraham. He had gone to her inside the tent and told her to make 3 cakes. Sarah seems to have been eavesdropping on the conversation from inside the tent. She heard the next statement that was made. "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." Sarah laughs and says to herself, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I be fruitful?" Honestly, I can hear her. "God, are you kidding me? Do you know how old I am? What in the world are you saying? Number one, how can I get pregnant at my old age? Number two, who would want to raise a child at my age?" Can't we all understand Sarah's laughter and disbelief as well as Abraham's laughter back in chapter 17? I love Frederick Buechner, and Buechner says it best in my opinion. Listen to his interpretation of this story. When God told Abraham, who was 100 at the time, that at the age of 90, his wife Sarah was finally going to have a baby, Abraham came close to knocking himself out, fell on his face, and laughed. About our passage today, Buechner says, Sarah's hiding behind the door, eavesdropping. And here it's Sarah herself who nearly splits a gut, although when God asks her about it afterward, she denies it. "No, but you did laugh," God says, thus having the last word as well as the first. God doesn't seem to hold their outburst against them, however. On the contrary, God tells them that the baby's going to be a boy and that God wants them to name him Isaac. Isaac in Hebrew means laughter. Buechner continues, "Why did the two old crocs laugh? They laughed because they knew only a fool would believe that a woman with one foot in the grave was soon going to have another foot in the maternity ward. They laughed because God expected them to believe it anyway. They laughed because God seemed to believe it. They laughed because they half believed it themselves. They laughed because laughing felt better than crying. They laughed because if, by some crazy chance, it just happened to come true, they would really have something to laugh about. And in the meanwhile, it kept them going." Does this sound like anything we've learned about our relationship with God? Maybe hope? Maybe believing? Maybe faith? Buechner's last words about the passage of Scripture are, "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen," says the epistle in the Hebrews. Faith is laughter at the promise of a child called laughter. Faith. Faith in God's promises to us, even when we doubt God is present, that God is listening, that God will answer. Abraham and Sarah had hoped for a child their whole lives together, but it had not happened. God had made promises to them, and they struggled to see how in the world the promises were going to come true. And yet they kept trying to do as God instructed them to do. They had left all they had and were on this journey. They weren't perfect. They made mistakes. They doubted. Doesn't that sound like you and me? Like us, not perfect, making mistakes, doubting? We're a lot like Abraham and Sarah, at least in my opinion. When have we hoped for something, and when has it not happened? When have we laughed, thinking there is no way this is going to come to reality? I bet if we think closely about those moments in our lives, we can also see, somehow, that God has shown up in some way. If I think of just one example in my own life of a time when I thought something would not happen, it would be about my ordination. I had given up on ever being ordained as the Reverend Kimberly J. Parker. But lo and behold, God kept showing up. God kept putting people in my life to encourage me, to push me, to be there when I laughed at it ever coming true. This one particular instance in my life is a good reminder to me that God will remain faithful. The timing may not always be what I want it to be. The exact way I want something to turn out might not be exactly what I imagined in the first place, but God is going to be there. I was also recently reminded of this through the life of one of our guests in the Central Outreach and Advocacy Center. Honestly, our guests often serve as a reminder to me to not give up. They wait and wait and wait for multiple things to happen. In their waiting, life isn't easy, and yet so many of them do not give up. This one guest had been around Central OAC for several years. I will call him T. T first came to us to get assistance with his identification documents. That's why the majority of our guests show up in the first place. But once they get there, they realize that we offer other services that will benefit them. After obtaining his identification documents, T began working with our housing navigator. The housing navigator recently shared a brief blurb with us in order to tell T's story. She shared, T was a guest of mine for almost 2 years and wasn't always the easiest person to work with. I personally can attest to that. T turned down and missed out on several housing opportunities. Despite the setbacks, however, T was always consistent with me. T came to Central OAC at least 3 times a week. The visits weren't always positive. Sometimes T was in a good mood, other times T was struggling and disruptive. Staff had to ask T to leave multiple times. Waiting for housing can be frustrating. Sometimes guests feel hopeless in the face of the long, long wait times. T tried to give up on our process more than once, but during the meetings, I tried to give a lot of reassurance and redirection. When the frustrations got the better of T, he would always come back and apologize. Last week, T moved into a brand new, permanent supported housing community close to downtown. T is overwhelmed with joy and gratitude that he finally has a place to call home. He no longer has to sleep outside or in an abandoned building when the weather is extreme. I'm confident that T will thrive in his new housing placement. In this story that the housing navigator shared with us, I can see T in the same way as Sarah and Abraham. T waited and waited. Opportunities arose, but they weren't quite as T envisioned. I imagine there were times when T laughed, when he struggled to believe that there would be a place for him to sleep other than in an abandoned building or on the hard sidewalk. But he's in his own place now. The housing navigator kept encouraging T and saying, "It's going to happen." Remember when I started this sermon, I reminded us that Shannon wanted us to go back to the basics, back to our spiritual beginning. What is more basic than being reminded of hope and belief and faith? After sitting with this passage today, I'm wondering if laughter might become a reminder to us. Each time we hear laughter, either from someone else or coming from our own mouths, maybe the laughter can be a reminder that we are to hold on to the hope and belief and faith that God will answer in God's timing. Laughter. May it be so. Amen.
We are glad you joined us for this podcast from Central Presbyterian Church. Central is a welcoming congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA located in downtown Atlanta across from the state capitol. For more information about the life, work and ministries, please visit our website at cpcatlanta.org. We also invite you to join us for worship and Sunday school and experience this exciting and diverse body of believers who seek to be bearers of God's justice in the world. Thanks again for listening.